Take your Bible and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, as we begin reading with the first verse of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Listen carefully to God's Word. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. May God indeed bless to us the reading and hearing of His own holy and infallible Word. Amen. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. If you're like me, you like to know how things got started. Back in the days when I was going to school a lot, and I studied a lot of languages as well as archaeology, because I like to know about the origin of things, how it all came about and why we do what we do. And to me, Christmas is no different. I like to know how it all got started. Now, it's obvious to us, the first thing that we're going to think of is that Christmas got started because of Jesus Christ. And indeed, you're right. That is the origin of our Christmas celebration. It is because God, in the form of the second person of the Trinity, the second person of the Trinity, the Son, who is Spirit, became a man, took on the form of a man. We call that the incaro, the incarnation, or the fleshing out of God. So that God was fleshed out in the form of a man, and if we want to see what God looks like, then we look into the face of Jesus Christ and we study His character, and we'll find out what God looked like in terms of His character, Jesus Christ. That's how it all got started. But Christmas, as we know it, the celebration of Christmas, actually started in the 4th century of our era, A.D. In 274, the Romans in Rome instituted a celebration of a pagan god, the god of the sun, because approximately December the 25th, the days would stop being so short and a little bit more light would begin to shine and the days would get longer. And so the pagan Romans celebrated the worship of the sun at that time. Now, our early church fathers tried to stamp out that pagan celebration in Rome, but it was obvious they couldn't, and so you know what they did? The early Christians started celebrating the birth of the Son, the S-U-N and the S-O-N, the Son of Righteousness, on December the 25th. Now, some scholars think that probably Jesus was not actually born on December the 25th, and I think they're right. There have been at least 5 dates. One, December the 25th, and then January the 2nd, April the 18th, or April the 19th, or May the 20th. All those dates have been suggested as the time that Jesus was actually born. The English name was the Feast of the Nativity of the Son of Righteousness. And as that feast was celebrated in Rome on December the 25th, the Christians baptized it with Christian symbols and meaning. And then as Christianity spread throughout Europe, Christmas began to take on some of the other cultural aspects of different peoples throughout Europe. And we took on certain pagan symbols like mistletoe or holly or even the Christmas tree. All of those were really not a part, you know, of the birth of Christ, but we just used them as symbols in celebrating the birth of Christ. Now the Puritans tried to stamp out Christmas again. And as much as I admire and think that the Puritans or perhaps was the greatest era in the history of the church, other than the Reformation and the early church, I think the Puritans were wrong for trying. I think that the Lutherans had the right idea by emphasizing that, yes, you can celebrate Christmas and you can take the symbols from these pagan countries and you can baptize them into Christian terminology and you can use them rightfully. And that's basically what we do. Look at the Advent candle and that type of thing, the wreaths that we've hung around the church. Now, you don't associate that with any pagan worship, because we've baptized it with Christian meaning. And if you think of it that way, then you can use it and you can worship and it'll be all right. Well, I said I like to know the origin of things. Actually, what I want to talk to you today about is this. How can you make the best of Christmas celebration in your home? How can you make the best use of Christmas in your home? 3 weeks ago, we began thinking about Christmas in series, and we talked about Christmas in heaven. Then we also talked about last week, Christmas in your heart. And now today, we want to talk about Christmas in your home. How can you make the best use of Christmas in your home? And I want to be very practical and simply state some ways in the time that we have left this morning as to how you can make the best use of Christmas. And the first way is this. Christmas may be used to strengthen family ties. It hardly needs to be said because most of us use Christmas for that very purpose, to strengthen our family ties. Witness how tight a family knit, close-knit group, the first family at the first Christmas must have been. Here was a man who was really not married to this woman when she conceived. She was a virgin. An angel had to appear and explain the miracle to them. Imagine what that first Christmas must have been to that family. It must have drawn them closer and more tightly together. And I think that Christmas may and should be used to do just that, to draw families closer and more tightly together. We sing a hymn, "Blessed be the tie that binds." There are different kinds of ties that we may strengthen. I mean bow ties and ties that we tie with string or however. I remember when I was helping build the Baptist Hospital down in Montgomery between college years during the summertime, we had a tie that was called a snap tie. A snap tie was a part of a metal piece that stuck through forms in concrete so that when concrete was poured into the form was held tightly by this tie. But at the end of the pouring of the concrete, the tie would stick out. And then the boss man would say to me, "Hey, good, you go up on the sixth floor, walk along that ledge, and break all those ties." So I got to know about snap ties personally. You just snapped them off, and there they were. Then they covered them with concrete, and you never knew that snap tie was there. But what that snap tie did was that it bound together, it enabled that concrete to hold together. So that at Christmas time, Christmas is a time for the strengthening of family ties. I believe that every family ought to be an entity in itself. I think it's great to have extended families. I mean, include everybody in the family. But I think each family ought to develop certain personal and family traditions on its own. It's great to see grandma and grandpa and go to their house. But every family is a family itself on its own. I believe that is what the Bible teaches in Genesis that is reiterated by the Lord Jesus as well as by the Apostle Paul, that a man as well as a woman should leave their father and mother and cleave unto their wife, cleave unto their husband, and those two shall become one flesh. They are to be their own family. And they're to develop their own traditions. Traditions of worship and traditions of Christmas. As well. I know a pastor and his wife who have a great tradition. The tradition they have is that after all the Christmas trees are, after the Christmas tree has been laid out, the children having gone to bed early, and the pastor and his wife will prepare a meal, a steak, a nice filet mignon just for themselves, and sit down and relax and begin to enjoy Christmas at that point. And probably some of you husbands and wives have the same type thing where you finally have some time to yourself. Well, strengthening family ties, that's what Christmas is about. But it's also, and this is what I want to recommend as to how you can make the best use of Christmas, you can build bridges. Build bridges where broken relationships exist. Broken relationships are perhaps the saddest at Christmas than at any other time. That's what makes it so hard for many people. But if it depends on you, as Hebrews 12:14 says, as far as much as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. So if a broken relationship depends on you, then you mend it. Don't even wait for her to say, I'm sorry. Don't wait for him to say, I apologize. But you do something to mend the brokenness in your home. Maybe husbands, wives, maybe daughters. Wasn't that a beautiful scene in the Christmas movie Home Alone about the little boy who's left by himself? One of the funniest movies that I've seen in a long time. It had one bad part in it, so I'm not necessarily recommending it, but it was a great moment when this little 8-year-old boy and this old man talk about Christmas. And the old man is sitting in church, and he's come to watch his granddaughter in a play, but he can't talk to his granddaughter because he and his son have had a falling out. And so they don't communicate. And the little boy helps the grandfather to reestablish a relationship with the son and with the whole family. Building bridges. I know a family not too long ago who suffered a death. And before this man died, he prayed that his son and his daughter, who had a fight and had gone opposite ways for years, he prayed that they would get together before he died. And he called them all together. And in his dying moments, he saw this son and this daughter be reunited. And he said to me, he said, if this was the only reason that I contracted this cancer, and even if I die, and he did die, and even if I die, it was worth it to see my son and my daughter back together again. How can you make the best use of Christmas? Why, everybody's attitude, everybody tries harder. There's never a better time than right now to build a bridge. Give gifts is another way. Give gifts that mean or that have deep meaning. And I said I was being very practical. One of the best Christmases and most memorable Christmases that we ever had in our family was not when everybody got everything they wanted materially. You know what we did? If I may share it with you. We wrote down on a slip of paper everything that we would like to give. One thing that we would like to give to each member in our family, if we could give it. We wrote one thing that was a material thing. And we wrote one thing that was an intangible, immaterial thing. This is what I'd like for you to have. I'd like for you to feel my love throughout the year. I'd like for you to have joy and happiness. That's what I'd give you. If I had the power to give you, that's what I'd give. And that was one of the most meaningful gifts. And you might try that if you like. Give gifts that have a deeper meaning than just the ordinary clothes, Nintendos, and all the rest. Give something that makes a difference in a person's life. And if you really want to be deep, be more conscious about giving and not about receiving. That's what Jesus said. Don't be anxious about what you're going to get or be concerned about it. Make it your purpose. Ladies, I know that many of you have a practice of baking cookies and cakes and giving them away. And I think it's great. It's a good practice. And we have been the beneficiaries of your wonderful culinary artistic abilities. God bless you. In preparing for others, don't forget your own families. And men, many of you depend on your wives to do everything for people outside your own home. And you don't really do much of anything for people outside your own home. I want to challenge you men to do something. I want to challenge you to adopt a project. Maybe a family. Maybe an individual. That you don't depend on your wife to do. To take care of. To cook for. But that you provide for some needy family. Choose somebody who can't give back to you. And then lastly, and probably and no doubt more importantly, spend unhurried worship and time together. That's how you can make the best use of this Christmas season. Spend some unhurried worship and some time together. Read with your family, pray together. I hope that you're going to be here tomorrow night and that you'll make a part of your family tradition coming to the candle lighting service as part of your family. Rearrange your schedule. Rearrange your eating time. We do. I'm always here. Mr. Cooksey's always here. Rearrange yours. And make it your priority to come with your family on this special occasion. And spend some time between Christmas and New Year's re-evaluating your life. The psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Somebody once said that an unexamined life is not worth living. Will you examine your life not just making the traditional New Year's resolution, but examine your Christian life before God and be still. Take time and worship with your family, by yourself. And in these ways, you can make the best use of Christmas in your home. Strengthen family ties, build bridges, give gifts that have deeper meaning, and spend unhurried worship time together. Let's pray.